this morning. You're invited to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. As we are coming to the last David story in the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. From 1 Samuel chapter 30, beginning with verse 1. Now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid on Negeb and Ziklag. They attacked Ziklag, burned it down, taking captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed none of them, but carried them off and went their way. When David's men came to the city, they found it burned down, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was in great danger, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in spirit for their sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David said to the priest Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them?" He answered him, "Pursue, for you shall overtake, and you shall surely rescue." So David set out, he and the 600 men who were with him. They came to the Wadi Besor, where those they who were left behind. But David went on with the pursuit, he and 400 men. 200 stayed behind, too exhausted to cross the Wadi Besor. In the open country, they found an Egyptian and brought him to David. They gave him bread, and he ate. They gave him water to drink. They also gave him a piece of fig cake and two clusters of raisin. When he had eaten, his spirit revived, but he has not eaten bread or drank water for 3 days and 3 nights. Then David said to him, "To whom do you belong? Where are you from?" He said, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant to Amalekite. My master left me behind because I fell sick 3 days ago. We had made a raid on Negeb of the Tyrhites, on that which belongs to Judah, and on Negeb of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag down." David said to him, "Will you take me down to this raiding party?" He said, "Swear to me by God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them." When he had taken them down, they were spread all over the ground, eating and drinking and dancing, because the great amount of spoil had been taken from the land of the Philistines to the land of Judah. David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not one of them escaped, except 400 young men who mounted camels and fled. David recovered all the Amalekites had taken. David rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters. Spoil or anything else had been taken. David brought back everything. David also captured all the flocks and herds which were driven ahead of their cattle. People said, "This is David's spoil." Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow David, who had been left at the Wadi Besor. They went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. When David drew near to the people, he saluted them. Then all the corrupt and worthless fellows among the men who had gone with David said, "Because he did not go with us, we will not give him any of the spoil that we have recovered, except each man may take his wife and children and leave." But David said, "You shall not do so, my brothers. With what the Lord has given us, he has preserved us, and hand over to us the raiding party that attacked us. Who will listen to you in this matter? For the share of the ones who go down to battle shall be the same as the share of those who stay by the baggage. They shall share alike." From that day forward, he made a statute and an ordinance for Israel, and it continues to the present day. When David came to Ziklag, he sent part of the spoil to his friends, the elders of Judah, saying, "Here's a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." It was for those in Bethel and Ramoth, of Negev and Jachar, and Arar and Siphath and Ismioth, and Rechel, and the towns of Jerilites, and the town of Kenites, and Horbob, and Morshan, and Nathoth, and Hebron, all the places where David and his men had roamed. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So this morning, we're talking about David the Rescuer. So you may recall last week, David was in a very tough spot. The Philistines were gearing up to go on the offensive against the Israelites and King Saul. And King Achish called in David and said, "You're going to be my personal bodyguard." And David had to be thinking, "Oh Lord, what am I going to do? Because I swore an oath to him that I'd be his bodyguard. At the same time, I can't go fight against my own people. What am I going to do?" And for David, rescue came from a very unlikely source. It came from the other Philistine lords who said, "Wait a minute, Achish. This is David. This is the guy who has a hit song on the radio about how Saul killed his thousands and David killed his 10,000s. This dude is going to backstab us in the battle. You send him out of here." So Achish goes to David and says, "David, no, I'm sorry, but you've been loyal to me and you've been faithful. And may God bless you for that. But come morning light, I need you and your men to draw back. Go back to your town I gave you." So next morning, David makes their journey, and it takes 3 days to get there. And so they're imagining we're going to go home, see their wives and children, and relax a little bit. It'd be like, for example, if you were a soldier here in Englewood, and World War II broke out, and you got on the train, and then the plane, and ship, and went overseas, and you came back to Englewood, and you'd be looking forward to it. And then you got to Englewood, and the whole town been burned down. You got surprised. These men got surprised. They got back to the town, and had been burned down to the ground. And all the women and children had been taken away, along with all the livestock. Imagine the horror that went upon them. While they were going away to go to battle, the enemy snuck in, destroyed their town, kidnapped their wives and children, and stowed all their possessions. And verse 4 says, "David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep." In other words, this wasn't the little tear fall down my cheek fake cry. This was the sobbing and weeping, realizing something terrible had happened. "Where's my wife? Where's my child? Where are they? Are they safe? Have they been taken care of?" And David, his two wives are among the captives. Now, we talked about Abigail a few weeks ago, how she was pretty and witty, and she's been hauled off, stolen. And then in verse 6, it said, "David was in great danger, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in spirit for their sons and daughters." You know, people think that being in a position of leadership is always fun and games. But you got to realize that the higher you're up on the ladder, the bigger the target is on your back. The higher up on that ladder, you get blamed for everything and anything, and you might not have anything to do with it. That's just part of it. Now, it wasn't David's fault these folks got kidnapped. But what did David do? Here's the key part. "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." In other words, David didn't look at the ashes and the rubble. He didn't look at the missing papers. "Have you seen my wife? Have you seen my child?" He didn't listen to his critics. They said, "We need a stone David. He failed us. Get us a new leader." No, he found his strength in the Lord. The fact is, if your strength comes from the outside, anything that's earthly worldly, your personal self-esteem, you're going to be hurting. If your strength and confidence comes from your job, your finances, your where you live at, what church you go to, you're going to be hurting. Because that will not carry you through the hard times. You need an inward strength, a strength that comes from the Lord. And, of course, we all know that beautiful verse from Isaiah chapter 40 about how those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings like eagles. And so David does something I feel like he should have done earlier in this. He calls in for the priest. Now, remember last week I was a little, critical of David because I wondered out loud, no, did David... was in God's will when he went and lived with the Philistines without God's plan for him. But here you see, David calls in the priests and he says, he inquires the Lord, Lord, shall I pursue this man, shall overtake them? And the Lord said, yes, you should pursue and you overtake them. And he shall surely rescue. You shall surely rescue. When the Lord told David, you shall surely rescue, that was like money in the bank. It is ready to go. So David set out with 600 men. Here we go. And they traveled that night, and they got to a oasis, a wadi, Besor. And 200 men were just too tired at that point and said, boss, we can't go on. We're worn out. All right, you stay here. We're going on ahead. And then they get help from another unlikely source. They're riding across the wilderness there. And they meet this young guy who's about to die from thirst and starvation. Give him food and say, who are you? He says, well, I'm from Egypt. I'm not even around here. I got sold into slavery. And I was with these tribes and I was with them when they raided these different towns and when they burned down a town. And then because I was sick, my master just left me behind. And it's been 3 days, 3 nights since I have any food or water. Now, that slave, he had to be thinking, well, this is how it ends. I got sick. Master left me behind. Wasn't worth carrying around. I'm just going to die here of starvation and thirst. Terrible way to die. But unknowns to him, here came David, the future king. And God was going to use his Egyptian slave. And he said to the slave, David did, will you take me down to the spring party? Show me where they went. Will you do it for me? And the slave said, well, swear to me by God, you will not kill me or hand me back over to my master, and I'll take you down to them, okay? Now, this slave is smart. So I'll make a deal with you, David. If you promise not to kill me after the end of this, and you promise not to give me back to my master, I want to be a free man again. I'll take you down there. And David said, you got you a deal. And this is ironic, because David, you may recall, he's Jewish Israelite. He's a descendant of slaves who were slaves in Egypt. And now he's getting a hot tip by an Egyptian slave. Okay? Don't forget that God can use the most unlikely people for his glory and his will. And so they go out scouting. And that night, they find the party. Listen to this. They were spread out over the ground, eating and drinking and dancing, because a great amount of spoil had been taken from the land of the Philistines, the land of Judah. In other words, they had them a good time. Oh, look at us. We got all this and all these women, kids, and livestock. Celebrate. Good times, come on. But what they didn't realize was that it's outside the perimeter. David and his men were coming around, forming a circle. And then at twilight, David attacked until the next day. And it said that no one escaped except for 400 young men who mounted the camels and fled. And I get the impression they realized this is a lost cause. We better get out of here, boys. And they mounted up and took off. It's time to do some camel travel. Get out here. and David rescued all the Amalekites had taken. David rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. David brought back everything. David also captured the flocks and herds, which were driven ahead of the other cattle. And people said, "This is David's spoil." So David, after this battle, if we were looking at his guidepost, he went from a zero to a hero. 48 hours earlier, people were getting ready to stone him for being so incompetent. And now they're saying, "There's our leader. That's David. And this is all his cattle. This is his will. This is spoil. I'm so proud to serve with David." Y'all got to be careful about flattery. Folks one day boast and brag about how they're friends with you. And then the next day, they're out there criticizing you. And then the Lord works in your life. And then say, "Oh, yes, me and him go way back, way back, way back." Now, that's how some folks are. No, you can't let that stuff go to your head. And then David shows what a great leader he is, but what happens next? So on the way back, they come across the 200 men, and they went out to meet David and meet the people who were with him. David drew near to people and saluted them. Okay, so have a good moment. But, verse 22, "Then all the corrupt and worthless fellows among the men who had gone to David said, 'Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we recovered. So each man may take his wife and child and leave.'" So they're over there saying they have their kids back, but nothing else. No, because they didn't come with us. But David said, "You shall not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us. He has preserved us and handed us to the raiding party that attacked us. Who will listen to you in this matter? For the share of the ones who go down the battle shall be the same as the share of the ones who stay by the baggage. They shall share alike." And then the author says, "From that day forward, he made it a statute and ordinance for Israel, and it continues to the present day." In other words, the author is saying, the reason why we have a rule about the people who go in the battle and the people who stay with the baggage get the same reward goes back to David. Now, I got to think about that. You know, in our culture, we have a phrase that deals with that. How often have you heard the phrase, "Hold down the fort"? What does that mean? It means I got to go somewhere and take care of this project. In the meantime, I need you to stay here, hold down the fort. Okay. And I'm afraid so many times that people who hold down the fort in our churches get overlooked. Now, you think about churches today and on TV, and everybody thinks, "Look at that pastor, look at him, and that's the pastor of that church." But what they forget is there's a whole army holding down the fort for that church. Now, here, being a small church, I think we know that pretty well, because it's about everybody does something in our church. You know? Now, for example, Herb comes in the morning, unlocks the door. He turns on the light switch. The reason we have a light switch is because Miss Heather paid the light bill and the water bill. Be embarrassing when it came here and didn't have any electricity, would it? No? And then, you know, we had the storms. We all come in. I know it's Marvin. We'll come in, walk around the church, check out the roof, make sure there's no damage. Because if you ever had a roof leak, it's not just the roof, is it? It's the roof, the insulation, the wall, the ceiling tiles, the electricity sometimes is a headache. Okay? And then we come in here. And you pick up your bulletin. Okay? All right. That'd be Miss T in the back. And then we have the music and the audio. That'd be our audio technician. That'd be Josh back there. And remember, a few weeks ago, he wasn't here, so we bit Jimmy on top of him. She'd know what she was doing, right? And so she was over there singing Amazing Grace. And I go back there and say, "You need to turn the volume up. We can't hear the song Amazing Grace, you know?" No, you're audio technician, you know, like at the graduation, like I do. You don't get to enjoy the show. You got to be paying attention and adjusting stuff. He's a tiger. And then think about our ushers to come up, to take up the offering, the acolytes. And then we have our meals and such, and you bring in the food. And then we have our other activities, and folks volunteer to help out with that. The point is, even for a little bitty church like ours, country church, it takes a small army, doesn't it? Because no one person can do it by themselves. When I look at these big churches, it takes more than just that pastor on TV. There's a whole army behind him. And for David, he was humble enough to say, no, you shall not do this, my brothers, for what the Lord has given us. Very, very important. He didn't say, not what I've given you, but what the Lord gave us. And we're going to share and share alike. Everybody's going to share, whether they were with the raid or they were holding down the fort, we're all going to share in this. And then David is such a good leader, verse 26, he sends out some spoils to his friends and elders of Judah, saying, here's a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. And then he lists all these towns that I tried to pronounce correctly. I don't know, it's Hebrew. And why? All the places where David and his men had roamed. In other words, David's way of saying, hey, I appreciate all those times you kept us up and we've been here. And we've been blessed, and we're going to share some of that blessing to you. Now, what about us this morning? Where do we find ourselves in this story? When we face hard times and we get all down and out, weeping and gnashing, woe with me. When folks turn against us, do we lose heart? Or are we like David, that David strengthened himself, the Lord his God? And then do we follow David's example when he called the priest and said, I need to know God's will. Lord, shall I pursue this man? So overtaken. And the Lord said, yes, pursue this man. You will overtake him. You shall surely rescue. He sought the Lord and received clear guidance. And then on his way down, he got unexpected help from an Egyptian slave who was on the verge of death. Lord, am I humble enough in my own life that I could receive a word of wisdom from somebody I wouldn't expect? Maybe somebody who doesn't dress nicely, doesn't look nice, maybe a homeless person. They say something that you have a message for me that I didn't expect. Lord, make me humble so I can hear your voice regardless of the source. And then David comes in, gets a great victory, great battle. And when the rascals say, we're not going to share this. This is ours. No. David says, no. The Lord gave this to us. Everybody will share alike, both those who went on the raid and those who head down the ford. Lord, am I living a lie to where I'm sharing the credit? I let folks aware that I reflect and redirect and say, well, no, it's not just me. There's a whole flock of us, a whole army. And at the end of the story, what does he do? He sends presents to all the different villages who've been behind him all those years, hiding from King Saul, and said, this is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. Thank you for taking care of me for all those years. The Lord bless me. I'm now going to bless you. When we look at chapter 30, we see David at his very best. When things are down and out, he strengthened himself in the Lord. He asked for the Lord's guidance. He was humble enough to receive insight from someone he didn't expect. After the battle, he was gracious in victory and shared the wealth. And then he showed gratitude by sending gifts to those who had been a blessing to him. That is a great model for all of us to be part of. Amen.